This is The Takeaway. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. The military and the Muslim Brotherhood have long struggled for power in Egypt.
In 1953,
we really wanted to compromise with the Muslim Brotherhood if they were willing to be reasonable.
The voice of President Gamal Abdel Nasser promising compromise with the Muslim Brotherhood back in 1953. By 1954, Nasser had changed his mind. A failed assassination attempt by a member of the Brotherhood led Nasser to outlaw the organization. Thousands were arrested, and the political group was forced underground. His rule expanded the powers of the military and became a symbol of power and tyranny, which survived until Hosni Mubarak, at least until today. Fast forward to 2013, and in the 6 weeks since the ouster of Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, we've seen three mass killings of demonstrators, many of whom belong to or are supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, with the largest wave of violence since 2011 taking place yesterday, leaving hundreds dead. So today we want to ask, what lies ahead for Egypt? A return to history? And if so, is General Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, the leader of the Egyptian military, taking a page from Nasser's book? John Alterman is director and senior fellow of the Middle East program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, John, this idea of comparing General Sisi to President Nasser, how valid is that? Is it over the top?
You know, I think it's a stretch first because Gamal Abdel Nasser was not visible at all, really, for the first year of the revolution. He never seemed to be grabbing power. It's just as things developed, it became clear he had it. Sisi was always the face of the military. Certainly after Tantawi stepped down, Sisi had played a prominent role in the Defense Department. He didn't come out of the shadows. The other thing is Gamal Abdel Nasser was in his early 30s when he rose to power in Egypt. General Sisi is somebody who has built relationships throughout the entire system. He is somebody who understands the system. He's a product of the system. And Abdel Nasser overthrew the previous system. Sisi wants the continuity of it.
So what are your thoughts on what might happen if indeed General Sisi does start to play an even bigger political role?
Well, my guess is that he's initially going to refrain from playing a political role. He's going to let the civilian politicians try to fix the problems. I think a lot of people agree the problems aren't fixable by technocrats because ultimately what you need is political solutions to political problems. That's how you build popular support for unpopular steps like cutting subsidies. My guess is the way this will play out is General Sisi at some point in the next several years will retire from the military, run as a civilian, and put forward the idea that there's no military government in Egypt. There's a civilian government, and he's a former general the same way that Dwight Eisenhower was a former general who became the president of the United States.
So sort of rebrand himself.
Yeah, and take off the uniform and not put it back on. And what he would gain is he would have the support of the military institution, but would be able to argue that the military has its role in Egyptian public life. And he is a private citizen like any other running for public office. The other interesting piece of this, of course, is if he allows the big mistakes to be made by the civilians and he manages to keep his hands clean and show this kind of leadership and the kind of gravitas, I believe that he is in a position now and is likely to be in a position in the future where if there were a popular election, he would win it fair and square.
So meanwhile, though, do you think that he is going to be able to marginalize the Brotherhood and isolate it from the political process like President Nasser did in 1954?
I think he's going to try. And certainly one of the challenges that the Egyptian government now faces is if there's any group that could sustain multiple protests over multiple years, it's the Brotherhood. If you're going to run free and fair elections, the Brotherhood probably still has the best field organization in the country. How you are able to move over to really civilian governance and somehow keep the Brotherhood out, if you're going to open up the politics, I think is a very, very delicate balancing act. My guess of what they're going to try to do is to split the Brotherhood and have some people get into politics and some people refuse to participate. And I think that's probably going to be the thrust of the strategy dealing with the Brotherhood going forward.
What do you think about the violence that we're seeing on the streets, though? There is this growing view that the general doesn't care what Obama says about the violence. Is this just bad news for Washington?
Well, in some ways, there's a deep contempt all throughout the Middle East for how the United States understands local politics. What I think we are entering into is a real decisive period in U.S.-Egyptian bilateral relations, where the U.S.-Egyptian relationship for 30 years has been a very, very steady stream of aid, most of it going to the Egyptian military without any opposition on Capitol Hill, which provides most of the acquisition budget for the Egyptian military, and there are reasons for it. I think that whole relationship is going to be revisited. It is very hard for the United States to maintain Egypt as its number two aid partner in the world if this is what happens when demonstrators go out into the streets of Cairo.
And as for Egyptians, I mean, there was this sense after Mubarak was overthrown that the military had become the people's friend. And they are still very popular, but if this still keeps going on in the streets, can it sustain its popularity, violence, and also if the economy is not reformed?
Well, I think what the military is going to try to do is blame the civilians for the failure of the economy. But in a polarized society, what the military is trying to do is to say, we are the friend of most people. It's this small club that keeps trying to exclude everybody else, to take care of themselves. There'll be corruption trials. There'll be all kinds of things talking about how the Brotherhood has wronged the people of Egypt, and the military will continue to put itself forward as the defender of the people of Egypt. And a lot of people in Egypt actually feel quite positively about the military. I think it's genuine. I think it's deep. I think it's broad. And when the military speaks, people in Egypt give it a lot of weight. But there's an important distinction to be drawn in Egypt between secularists and liberals. There are people who think that the Brotherhood or any religious group has no place in politics. And there are people who think there should be an open competition in politics where everybody has at least an opportunity to win. And if you don't win now, you might win in the future. I think there are more secularists in Egypt than there are liberals or small D Democrats. I think most Egyptians, what they really want is better outcomes, not necessarily more democracy. And what I think they will support is something which they think will get them to the best outcome, not what will create the greatest amount of societal consensus. That could change. There are things that could change it. There are things the military could do that would tip that one way or the other. But my guess is that the military will try to stay out of the difficult things that have to be done in the near term, and the bulk of the Egyptian population will continue to look at the military as the problem solver. Don't forget when there were bread shortages in Egypt 2 or 3 years ago, and people couldn't get subsidized bread, and it was a crisis. The institution brought in to bake bread was the military, and the crisis went away.
In the short term, John, what should we be watching for in the next couple of days?
Well, I think in the short term, there's going to be more violence. I think it's going to be sustained. I think it's going to spread. For a lot of people in Egypt, they say, we want to go on with our lives. And it will actually isolate the Brotherhood because people will say, I can't get to work. I can't get my kids to school. I'm done. And I think there's going to be an effort to clean this up, and then to clamp down on politics in the weeks to come.
Thanks so much for talking about this with us, John.
Thank you, Manoush.
John Alterman is director and senior fellow of the Middle East program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And we want your take on the situation unfolding in Egypt. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. I'm Anoush Zomorodi, host of WNYC's New Tech City, in for John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.